John chapter 2 this morning for us. Which I will try to cue as much as I can, brother. Talk about trust and zeal in John chapter 2. This is kind of when Jesus is really in the early parts of his ministry. And, you know, we think a lot of times that Jesus hit the earth and everybody just knew him and like, yeah, you're Jesus, we're ready to follow. But it was not like that. It just wasn't like that. But he had to build a lot of trust and zeal with him. There are two events that we're going to talk about here. Richard, go to the next slide. Two events to talk about here. Jesus changes water into wine. Jesus clears the temple courts. The water into wine is about building trust, and clearing the temple is about zeal for God. Who are the people involved in this story of changing water into wine? Jesus, his mother, the disciples, and the wedding party. What do we need to learn from this story? Trust. We need to learn trust. Richie, go to the next slide. The reason I'm saying that because Rich had to switch computers, so usually you can see what's going on, so I'm having to cue him if you wonder why I'm saying Richard. What do we need to learn from this story? Trust. Trust can mean a firm belief in someone's character, ability, or truth. It can also mean a confident expectation of someone. And I think all of us have that of Jesus. We feel like, man, there's just this expectation and confidence that we have of Jesus. For us, we're looking from what you call a post view. For these guys, it was right then and now. So they're building and trying to get there. So why does Jesus need to earn their trust? John chapter 1. I'm going to go back a little bit. Richie, go to the next one. Perfect, you're already there. Perfect. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. I think that's a good point why he needs to earn their trust. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Somebody's created through you, and yet they get old and they don't know you. I don't know how that would feel. That would be kind of hard. To build trust, you have to lay the groundwork for which trust can be built on. For the disciples, the foundation of trust being built begins with John the Baptist. John chapter 1. Verse 29 through 30. Go to the next one, Richard. Says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain in the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Building that trust. John was a part of that plan to build that trust with these disciples who were going to follow Jesus. Trust must be built up because even a long time faithful believer who is expecting the coming of Jesus can have doubts. John 1 verse 45 speaks to that. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael, of course, responds, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? That's a lot of mistrust and doubt going on there with these guys. Even though they know he was to come, they're like, well, really? You know, it's just a lot of doubt going there. But I can see us like that. We're expecting what? Jesus to come back and return. Some of us may be like, you sure that's Jesus?
I'm not sure.
You know, David Blaine does a lot of magic and part stuff. Are we sure this is the guy? You know, but the key to building trust is staying focused on the mission, and that is to reveal his glory and build their belief in him. And that's what one of Jesus' key goals was. God sent them on a mission, and part of that mission was to reveal his own glory, give God glory, but build their belief in him. We're going to go to the next one here. So we're going to jump right into, get my papers right here. We're going to jump right into John chapter, here we go, John chapter 2, verse 7. So we're talking about turning the water into wine. So what's happening here? They're all invited to a wedding. This is not all the disciples. This is actually only six of them that Jesus is, that are with him, that he's connected with. So Jesus, his mom, and they're at this wedding banquet. And of course, they're enjoying themselves, having a good time. And of course, the wine runs out. Oh man, what are we gonna do? And in that culture, wine was a big thing in that community. You have to have good wine. Although, it says that they would dilute the wine to make it last a little longer. Mm-hmm. But they ran out of wine, and Jesus' mom knowing, my son can fix this. So of course he approaches her, she approaches him, and say, you know, hey, why wine is a problem? And Jesus said, you know, woman, why do you bother me with this, you know, and everything like that. And a lot of times we hear the word woman, we think, oh, that's so disrespectful, but that's our culture. In their culture, it was not that way. That was a sign of respect. And Jesus even says again at the end when he's on the cross, he says, woman, this is your son. But picking up in verse 7, Jesus says to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. You know, the miracle did something for his disciples and also the servants who knew. It revealed his glory, and this was the beginning of giving them a stronger foundation for their faith. Though miracles alone are insufficient evidence for declaring Jesus to be the Son of God, the cumulative effect of miracle after miracle should certainly convince them of his deity. The relationship between Jesus and his disciples had to begin somewhere, and over the months, their faith deepened as they got to know Jesus better. Mm-hmm. When you experience a miracle, it does something to you. It makes you develop a little loyalty to somebody. Wow, you did this, you made this happen, you are worth my attention. You are worth me taking a second look at. And going a little further, in verse 11, it says, what Jesus did here in Canaan of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed the glory, which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. A miraculous event can have an astonishing effect on people. It can boost your faith, build your confidence in someone. This divine act saved the family from embarrassment and built trust with his disciples and mother and revealed his glory. What an awesome way to begin to build trust. To really build up, to do something that serves somebody else, and to really build it up. Trust is so important. And we have to realize with us, we've got to also build trust with one another and build trust with people that we're trying to build with. Jesus sets the example of that. Going to John 2:13. Jesus has moved on from the wedding banquet. He's now entering the temple courts. And I don't know if you're familiar, but they have three type of things they celebrate. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle. These kind of three different festivals they celebrate. This just happened to be a Passover. And so Jesus gets there, and of course, the temple courts is supposed to be a sacred place. But it has become a money market. You can imagine that really infuriates Jesus. And picking up in verse 13 in John chapter 2, it says, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at the table exchanging money. Each Jewish man was required to attend three annual feasts at the Holy City, as I said earlier, the Passover, the Pentecost, and Tabernacle. You know, Jesus goes in and he finds this happening in the temple courts, supposed to be a sacred place. He's pretty upset and mad. Mm-hmm. Here's a commentary that says, the priests had established a lucrative business of exchanging foreign money for Jewish currency and also selling the animals needed for sacrifice. No doubt, this religious market began as a convenience for the Jews who came long distance to worship in the temple. But in due time, the convenience became a business and it was no longer a ministry. Mm-hmm. That's the spot. I can see that happening. We as people, we love money. Some of us love money more than other people. Some of us look at more to make money than something. Even God's house sometimes is not off limits to our greed.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful of that. God is never against you doing business, but when it takes over ministry, there's an issue. There's no longer zeal for God, it's zeal for yourself and your time. John chapter 2, verse 15 says, so he made a whip out of cord, and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. His disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. The condition of the temple was a vivid indication of the spiritual condition of the nation. Their religion was a dull routine presided over by worldly minded men whose main desire was to exercise authority and get rich. Not only had the wine run out of the wedding feast, but the glory had departed from the temple. Finally, closing out here, guys, we're going to wrap up here. John, verse 18 says, the Jews then responded to him, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do this? Jesus answered him, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken. Mm. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person's heart. Now, I think about it, says raise the temple in 3 days. I think there's a scripture that says, you know, our temples is a housing for what? The Holy Spirit.
Wow.
There's a spiritual significance in that statement about what's important. It's not the construction, it's not the building, it's not that. It's this body. It houses this God's Holy Spirit. And we need to take care of that. And long before they became a den of thieves outwardly, their heart was already corrupt inside.
Yep.
No longer was there a place for God or the Holy Spirit. But God has such a zeal. Jesus has such a zeal for God's house, he let it be known that this was not right. This is wrong. So I'm going to end up with three things here, guys. I'm going to pray for communion here. Rich, you can go to the next one. Building trust requires that we lay a foundation. And trusting yourself to others requires that you build trust. Jesus did that. He set the example. He began to build trust with his disciples, the six that were there, his mother, and even the servants who knew, besides his mom and the disciples, who knew that he turned the water into wine. And of course, we know over time, he built with 12. And if you know the history of that, long before he chose his 12 disciples, he spent a year and a half building his trust with the community. Zeal for God, his will, his way, and his house should eat us up. We can be zealous about a lot of things, but zeal for God's house will eat us up. And yes, a great church building is great. Yes, a house out of her church is great. But this house here, the house of the Holy Spirit, man, you should be like, man, I need to be like Jesus. I need to protect this house. I need to protect me because I am a housing for God's Holy Spirit. And everything that Jesus did was to bring God glory, reveal his glory, and build his kingdom on earth. He had a mission. He knew time was limited, but he made the most of it by staying focused on his mission and making sure that he was building with the people that he was impacting. Finally, we should imitate Jesus. We should build trust, and we should be zealous for God. Amen. And we'll go to God in prayer, guys, and we're going to take communion. Well, Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your example. We thank you for the history that you have created, showing us just your life beforehand, Father, and how you just built with the servants, just built with Jesus' mother and just the disciples, God, and just this family, God, during that time, God, how you just really, wow, just made that party so much better, Father. You showed us an example of building trust with people. It's about spending time with them, God. It's about serving them, Lord, and meeting the need, Father, and not thinking about ourselves and our own time, God, but thinking about others. You also showed us your zeal, Father, about how we need to be just on fire, God, for this temple, God, that houses the Holy Spirit, God. That's us. And how we need to protect the places that we say, hey, this is the house of God that we're going to worship in, God. Whether it's a beautiful building constructed to be a church, a building, or in a home, Father, that we protect it righteously, Lord. And Father, we be about your glory, Father, and just your will, God. Father, as we take the communion today, help us to realize that a great sacrifice was made on our behalf. Father, help us realize that the juice represents the blood, that the bread represents the flesh, Father, and just help us to reconnect with you, Father. Remind us of such a great sacrifice and blessing that you gave us, Father, many, many years ago. We thank you so much for the Gospel of John. We thank you so much for Jesus' example. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.